Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The NBA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet for up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a $25 entry to use in Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app in the App Store or Google Play Store today. And welcome, everyone, to a Sunday evening edition of NBA Gambling Podcast. This is your host, CB. We're recording this Sunday, July 18th, 8:15 p.m. on the East Coast. Got the two nights off in between the finals, so we are recording following a crazy Game 5 last night. And the Bucks take a 3-2 lead in this series. I'm joined to break it down, Munaf. Munaf, how are you, bro? How was your weekend?
I'm doing well, man. Weekend was great. What's the one thing you and I always say about a playoff series?
Yeah, it doesn't start until someone wins on the road.
There you go. And I think we have a series now, right? And I think we were all kind of waiting for that road team to kind of break through. And I think it happened Saturday night. So it's going to be exciting, man. And we'll see what happens in game six. But it was a pretty good game. I know we're going to get into it here in a second. But wow.
Yeah, absolutely great game. Honestly, I think it's been a really, really good series. Very high level, you know, Giannis, Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Middleton, now Drew Holiday. A lot of guys putting up epic performances. And the swings in this series have been crazy. I think it really does go to show. I mean, I know the stats bear out that if you win, if you go up 1-0 or you go up 2-0, you're likely to close out the series. But, you know, like we said, I think a lot of people got, you know, just in talking about the way they were looking at this series, got a little bit thrown off when the Suns, you know, won and covered both games at home in game one and game two as a 5 or 6 point favorite. It's like they're supposed to do that. Then we come back to game three and game four. Milwaukee was favored for a reason. They got it done in both those games. So, you know, I think this series, it was always, it's a 7-game series. It's expected to go 2-2. And now, like you said, we have this kind of upset result. Milwaukee obviously going on the road, getting the money line upset in a game that they kind of controlled throughout the second half. So really fun series, kind of a lot of back and forth. And then the Bucks kind of make their statement on Saturday night in an instant classic of a game that they trailed by 16 points in the first quarter. I mean, so what was kind of your after that game? I mean, obviously just that alley-oop was just absolutely crazy. I mean, I screamed in my living room at that play, just such a ballsy play. What was kind of your instant reaction to that game six? I mean, or game five, pardon me.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the entire game. I was at a wedding on Saturday night, but but one of the guys I was with, or a couple of friends that I was with, they said, I was keeping track of the score for sure. And I saw that first quarter where, you know, the Suns were up by 16 at the end of one. I was like, okay, well, it seems like it's going to be a home and home thing here. Probably get to game seven, but, and it still can, but you know, the Bucks did a great job in the second half, clawing their way back in and getting the lead at half. I think you got to give a lot of credit to the way the Milwaukee Bucks were playing in that second half. The second quarter. It just seemed like that they couldn't miss a shot in that second quarter. And like you said, they controlled the game in the second half, and it got interesting in that fourth quarter. And I know, kind of fast forwarding to that final 30 seconds. But I think it's, you know, like you alluded to, it's one of the most iconic, I guess, sequence you can say in NBA Finals history. We talk about the Michael Jordan, you know, game-winning shot against Utah. We talk about LeBron's block. I think another iconic moment we're forgetting is the three-point shot that Kyrie Irving had in that game also. We fast forward to this series. Giannis is blocking, what was it, game four, and then now in game five, that final sequence by Jrue Holiday. So that moments are like right up in there in all-time moments. And it's crazy to think that we were kind of dogging on Jrue Holiday for not showing up all series long. And I said this with Scott, that we were kind of waiting for the big three of the Bucks to finally, all three of them, to put a game together. And they did that in game five, right? And both, you got to give credit to both teams that their big three both combined for 80 plus points. It was just an incredible game. And you know that the series odds shift significantly in your favor when you go up 3-2. And like we said, I think that all the stars for both teams shined in game five. And we say that every possession matters in the NBA finals and in the playoffs. And it came to fruition in that final, 20 seconds where Jrue Holiday probably just made the play of the games.
Yeah. I mean, I think that those are all great points. And, you know, kind of like what you said with the Bucks going back home for game six, I honestly think that the Bucks are better when their backs are against the wall and when they're kind of the underrated team. And we've seen that throughout this series. And I think game three and four, people were counting them out. Oh, you know, go game five. Oh, of course, Phoenix is going to bounce back. And they came out very, very tough. And how fitting that the game ends, or, you know, the clinching play is Jrue Holiday ripping the ball out of Devin Booker's hand, just saying, give me that. Like, the Bucks are just such a strong, physically imposing team. I think if you're Phoenix, like, they just haven't been able to kind of match the intensity and toughness of the Bucks for these last three games that they've won. You know, I think honestly, you're kind of missing Dario Saric on this team. You know, they do feel kind of small out there. It'd be nice to have one more big that can get in the rotation. But
yeah,
you know, I think ultimately the takeaway for the Suns in this game can also be, you know, Devin Booker was plus 12 in this game, and the Bucks basically got all of their damage done in that second quarter run. I mean, they were down, I think, 16 at the end of the first quarter. They win the second quarter by 19 points, win the game by four. So that basically got it done there. And Devin Booker sat for 6 minutes, and, you know, the Bucks kind of responded with Pat Connaughton on the floor making threes. Like, you were shouting him out. He played great. Bobby Portis also had some nice plays. So definitely a tough loss to swallow for the Suns, but, you know, also a game that they were right there into the end of, and the Bucks almost choked that away. I mean, how different could the narrative be if Chris Middleton basically doesn't bail them out of that game with just insanely difficult shot making down the stretch? Where else do you want to go here? I mean, I think we can keep breaking down the game a little bit. What do you think of the Suns offense? Obviously, the narrative coming out of that game, kind of that it's too much Devin Booker dribbling and he's a little bit selfish.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to really gauge on what is going on with Chris Paul's hand, right? And I think we're not entirely going to know the details until this series over on what the situation or the injury status is for Chris Paul. And I mean, he did have an efficient scoring night in game five. He was 9 of 15, scored 21 points. I think, you know, everybody was expecting him or his shooting woes to continue, but he had a good game. The surprising thing for, I think, Chris Paul was that he only played 35 minutes. Versus when you had, you know, Devin Booker going 42, DeAndre Ayton pretty much played the entire game, went 45 minutes. And then on the flip side, Giannis, Middleton, and Jrue Holiday all 40 plus minutes. So I think that, you know, we're expecting, you know, the stars know that this, like I said, it's a game five is pivotal when it's tied 2-2. Devin Booker, I mean, I think that for the Suns, you have to put the ball in his hands because this guy is a bucket, right? He can get to any spot on the floor and knock down a jump shot, get to the free throw line, wherever the case might be. So, I mean, I don't know. What I guess, let me get your thoughts first, and then I guess I got to sum it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think
on Devin Booker
for the Suns. Look, I mean, their team total went over in this game. Like they didn't really struggle offensively. I think they I pulled the stat. I mean, they had a 129 offensive rating in this game. You're not complaining about that. I do think that we're kind of seeing maybe a similar effect to what we saw with Kevin Durant in that Nets Bucks series. That yes, you're scoring, and yes, the individual player is having a ridiculous game, but it gets a little bit tougher and tougher throughout the game. We saw that in that Bucks Nets series, that the PJ Tucker physicality eventually wore down KD to like the point where, you know, he's getting it all himself, but it's just so hard. And Devin Booker's obviously making really tough shots in this series. And, you know, down the stretch, he was worn down a little bit and, you know, he put up 40 again. Like you said, you're not complaining. I think it is interesting. Devin Booker's taking more shots in each game as we go deeper into this series.
Yeah.
Other than the game where he got benched because he was 3 of 14, you know, culminating in 33 shots tonight in his 42 minutes. And yeah, I mean, I think this team is out there. And let's also say they shot 13 and 19 from three in this game. I mean, that's also, you know, we can talk about unsustainable, but you know, I think they're at their best when it's Chris Paul and Devin Booker being them, but also getting the pick and roll game going with DeAndre and getting Jay Crowder, Michael Bridges, Cam Johnson threes when the ball is moving. And you've seen less and less in that as the Bucks have started to kind of take control of this series. So I think they need, it's a balance because Devin Booker's the guy who probably will have to put you on his back to win game six in Milwaukee, but you're at your best when everybody is getting their touches. But to do that, you have to be comfortable, and it's not going to be comfortable, you know, now going on the road down 3-2. Let's take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back and keep talking about this game five. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET, so get started today. And you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com, W-Y-N-N-Bet.com, and download the app today. Today's episode also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds on NBA championship tickets when you buy directly from other bettors on PropSwap. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time with one click of a button, and PropSwap gives you a suggested price tool to let you know how much your ticket is worth. Last week, a PropSwap customer sold a $500 40-1 Phoenix Suns championship ticket for $16,000 after the Suns went out 2-0 in the finals. 30 times return for the seller, adjusted odds of minus 400 when every sports book in the country had Suns at minus 500. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. So think of it like the stock market, but for sports betting. Use promo code SGP in your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. So coming back off the break here, anything else you want to talk about the Suns offensively, or we can talk about the Bucks a little bit as well?
Yeah, I mean, for the Suns, I had mentioned to Scott when we had did the game five previews. I think they needed to get more. They needed, because the rotation is kind of thin for the Suns without Dario Saric, that they needed to get something out of both of Cam Johnson and Cam Payne.
Yeah,
and for them to only combine for 12 points, I think that I was expecting more from them, and I had some player props on them, and they didn't cash for me. But you know, I think they need to create more 3-point opportunities for Cam Johnson. But it's really tough to say, because like you mentioned right now, that they had a pretty good offensive game. I mean, can you ask for much more than that? It just came down to Jrue Holiday making that sick play at the end of the game, taking the ball away from Devin Booker. Do you think that offensively for Phoenix, that DeAndre Ayton should be more than 12 shots per game?
I don't know. I mean, I think they're like I said, I think they're definitely better if that's the case. But like it's kind of hard for them to force that to happen. I mean, he kind of had a quiet game, I would say. You know, looking back, he obviously played 45 minutes, was plus six in those minutes, had 20 and 10. But you didn't really feel him as much. I mean, I think you could say the same thing about Giannis Antetokounmpo, who basically had a quiet 32, 9, and 6. I mean, Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton were the story of this game. So, yeah, I think you definitely want to reestablish Ayton, try to get him more going offensively. And, yeah, I mean, the shot distribution, right, it's basically Devin Booker is getting all you can eat. Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton are getting a couple looks here and there, and then, you know, it's not much else other than catch and shoot threes or, for those guys, and they're not even getting up enough threes. So, you know, I think they're going to have to find something else to go along with Booker that really is a consistent part of their attack in game six, because I think as they watch him go for more and more and deeper into the game, it's like you can't do anything else if that's what you've been doing all game. And obviously he hits that ridiculous fadeaway three to cut it to three. He was getting buckets all game, but you know, I think for the Suns, they were fine offensively. It also comes down to their ability. They got to slow down the Bucks.
Exactly. And I think, like we mentioned, I mean, this was a great offensive game. There was great shot making. You know, the field goal percentage, both of these teams, 55% for Phoenix, 57, close to 58% for the Milwaukee Bucks. They both shot great from the 3-point line. So offensively, it's not a question. It's about cutting stops now. And I think that you can't ask the Phoenix Suns to play better offense than they had. It's just about making a better effort on the defensive end. And I think that's really what's going to come down to for them in game six, because the Bucks, especially Giannis, is just getting whatever he wants inside that paint. And they don't have an answer for him all series long. So, again, offensive output is great. It's just going to come down to defense now.
Yeah. And we could shift to that side of the ball a little bit. I mean, I think we talked about the bench play from the opposite teams. I mean, we came into this series basically wondering if the Bucks had anything off their bench that they could play. I mean, with the loss of DiVincenzo, and Pat Connaughton has kind of emerged into a role. And he had a great game tonight. He was plus 10, played 33 minutes, you know, took a lot of PJ Tucker's minutes in this game, which I think has been a good adjustment for this series. Pat Connaughton, 4-6 from three, 6 rebounds, no turnovers. Bobby Portis as well. I mean, for Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton, they combined 6 of 10 from three.
Yeah.
Bucks also shot 50% from three in this game. I mean, both teams, the 3-point shooting was just ridiculous in this game. Again, missed 8 free throws, 8 of 17 free throws. So what do you think of the Bucks offense? I mean, to me, I think you can't argue with the result again, but at the same time, I mean, if Chris Middleton doesn't go nuclear at the end of this game with his shot making, like, they easily could have blown this lead, and you know, the shots went in, and we're not going to question that looking back, but you know, it's you can't necessarily rely on the exact same thing happening in game six. They definitely, you know, scoring 123 points again, team total went over easily. Great performance. But what do you think of it as we look ahead to game six?
Yeah, I mean, your offense is always going to go through your big three guys, right? With Giannis, with Chris Middleton, and Jrue Holiday. And I think we have to start giving credit to Chris Middleton for what he's done over the games four and game five, right? And like you said, he's made the difficult shots, and he's taken over down the stretch where, I guess, during the regular season, that Giannis in the fourth quarter, it may not be the answer down the stretch because he doesn't have that jump shot, where guys like Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton have it for you. So, I mean, these guys combined for, 88 points. They were, 38 of 66 from the from the field. What more can you ask for these big three guys? So they got it done. I mean,
yeah,
that offense is going to go through them, right? And I think we got to also, like you mentioned, a shout-out Pat Connaughton for what he was able to do off his bench, right? 4-6, those are huge three-pointers. They needed every single one of those. He's rebounding the ball well for them. And like we mentioned, like, both of these benches are not great, but you're going to get whatever you can from them. And Bobby Portis and Connaughton have really risen to the occasion in the NBA finals. So we have to kind of give credit to them. But offensively, you know, Milwaukee now being at home, I think where they're more comfortable in a closeout game. It's going to be fun to see. And like you mentioned with PJ Tucker, and Scott mentioned this also, is that Jay Tucker should be playing less minutes, and he did in game five, and Connaughton should be getting his minutes. You know, that came to fruition in game five. So, I mean, not much more you can say, right? All the numbers across the board, other than the free throw shooting for the Bucks, mainly part because of Giannis, 50% from 3-point line, 57% from the field. It's not going to get much better than that. So again, the question is not going to be who's going to get the stops for both of these teams. I guess for game five, check mark the box for the Bucks for what Jrue Holiday did and will them to the victory. So I think you're going to need Chris Middleton if they're going to have a chance to win this on their home floor in game six. It's going to have to be, I think, Chris Middleton again for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, and I think in this game, I mean, they made shots. We've seen this team fall privy to missing shots at times in these playoffs. And I think when you look at their kind of how they're attacking the basket, I mean, the Phoenix Suns outscore them in the paint in this game, which is kind of a different trend than what we've seen when the Bucks were at home. And, you know, the shots fell in this game in Phoenix, but I do think that you have the potential. Now you take this 3-2 lead back home, you're more comfortable on your home floor. But I do have concerns about, like, the tightness. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on the Bucks to close out this series now, where I felt like they really did play free in this game tonight. So I think you're going to see a little bit of both. Anything else you want to talk about from Game 5 before we get ahead to the handicap for Game 6?
No, I think that was pretty much it. You know, offensive output, like we mentioned, was fantastic for both teams. You can't ask for much more. And like we said, it just comes down to every single possession, especially now in the what stage we're at in the NBA Finals. So I'm excited for Game 6.
Yeah, absolutely great game. Let's put it in the books. Look ahead to this Game 6. So with that, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and get to this handicap. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast presented by Underdog Fantasy. Make sure to head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a free $25. That's right. Sign up now for a free shot at $1 million. So download the app and sign up at underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN. We're also brought to you by the SGPN app. The SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. Gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to toss the app a review and download it today. All right, coming back off the break, we go back to Milwaukee. I saw someone in the SGP Slack said they were going to be at the game on Tuesday.
It was Brandon. Was it Brandon? Let me double check. Landon.
Yeah. So shout out to Landon.
Yeah.
Yeah, enjoy that game. Obviously, the outside crowd always looks crazy when they show it on TV. But yeah, let's set this one up here. Bucks favored by 4.5. So kind of like what we've been saying. I mean, I don't think your opinion of these two teams should be pretty steady so far. There's really only been one upset so far in this series. So, you know, Bucks laying 4.5 total now up to 222. We have seen some movement there. Money line, I'll throw that out there. Suns plus 180, Bucks minus 210. Munaf, Game 6, do the Bucks close out at home? Where are you going with this game?
Oh, man, this is it's tough because you're torn on which way. It's just so even in this line. Let's say the Bucks close it out in Game 6 at home on their home floor. Do you think, I guess, you know, kind of going back to Game 5, is that do you think the hearts were taken out of the Phoenix Suns, or will was taken out, or do you still think they'll rise to the occasion is a question going into Game 6 for me?
I think this game's going to be a war, personally. I think the Suns will definitely show up.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the spot right now is we're talking about is that for the Milwaukee Bucks, you're in prime position for Giannis, for Chris Middleton, for Jrue Holiday, PJ Tucker, the guys that they brought over in the offseason and, you know, in the buyout market and trade deadline, was that this is the occasion that they've been waiting for. They're one win away from the NBA championship on their home floor. The opportunity is right there in front of them, and I think the Bucks will rise to the occasion, but I do think it'll be a great game. I'm going to flip it. I'll go with Phoenix Suns to cover the plus 5. But I think on the money line, I think the Bucks get this done on their home floor, and they're going to be raising the trophy there on Tuesday night.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think part of it is just my like natural, you know, I definitely have been, I'm a big Bucks backer and picked them in this series to win in 6. So maybe I'm just a little bit nervous trying to reverse jinx it. But I think for the Bucks in this, I mean, I think this is going to be a very tough spot. All you, like you said, all those things kind of accumulating. I mean, this goes back to playoff scars from the past 3 years, the Giannis offseason rumors. Is Giannis going to leave? Is Giannis going to come back? Don't forget, I mean, they gave up 4 first-round picks to get Jrue Holiday, and that all culminates in this game that you are now supposed to win. I think there's a lot riding on this game for the city, for the franchise. I mean, they basically mortgaged their future to trade for Jrue Holiday. Giannis comes back for this moment. You're right there on the brink of what you built around Giannis for. And it's just a really, that to me is a very monumental weight to carry. Now, that's kind of the what my nervous side of me is saying. You know, I don't want to totally apply that to this game, because I think, like you said, they will come out motivated. And if they are flying around defensively, doing what they've been doing in their formula they use in game three and game four, I think they have to stick to that. You know, yes, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday hit shots for you in game five, but you need to get back to mashing them at the rim, you know, blocking shots, getting out in transition, getting to the rim at will, trying to get these points in the paint. That's the aggressive mentality you need to use to go close out this game. I don't think they're going to be able to close out this game if it's just, oh, you know, we're good, Chris and Drew are going to hit shots again, and we'll be good. I mean, I see you shaking your head. I totally agree. Like, they have to get back to mashing this Suns team, and we're deep into this series. Both these teams are tired. Everybody's tired. Like, this is when you got to put your foot on the gas and be the tougher, stronger team, and I think they are. So I'm going to go with the Bucks. Pick Bucks and six in this series, and at 4.5, I'll take the Bucks. I think, you know, I do think there is – I don't like to do that, what you did, which is like, you know, the 5-point – because I do think this will be a close game. But I also think if you like the Suns in this game, I think I maybe would just go on the money line. Sure. You know, if they get into a close game, I think it's going to be really tight for the Bucks. And Devin Booker has shown that, at this point, I still trust Devin Booker a little bit more than Chris Middleton. I don't know if that's a crazy take to be consistent in getting those buckets. No disrespect to either guy. They're both phenomenal. So I would go with the Bucks minus 4.5. Then they do close this out. But I just gave you kind of the reverse jinx, nervous case. Definitely got a lot riding on this one for the Bucks, so I think it's gonna be a phenomenal game. What else do you got on the side?
I think that whichever team you like, you should just take it on spread. So I'm kind of going back and forth here. So I'll probably have a final pick, and I'll drop it in the Slack channel on game day. But you take a look at whatever team you've liked against the spread, they've won the game covering. They've won covering the spread. So, yeah. Like you said, if you like the Bucks, go and just lay the points with them. And if you like the Suns, just play the money line, right? And that's kind of been the story all series long. I just think the Bucks get this done here, and I agree with everything you said about their game plan as far as X's and O's. Is that they need to get it back inside the paint and work your way from inside outside. That if it's not there, maybe kick it out to one of your shooters with Chris Milton, Drew Holiday, Pat Connaughton, and work your that way, because there's still, like I said before, there still isn't an answer for Giannis inside the paint. And, you know, he's getting inside, getting whatever he wants, getting to the free throw line for him is a different story, but you know, it's been working all series long. There's no reason for you on the brink of winning a championship to get away from what's been working for you all series long. Right. And I don't think they will. So I agree with you. I think the Bucks will get this done on Tuesday, and they'll be raising their trophy in Milwaukee on Tuesday night. One more question or point I did want to ask you is that, do you think that Coach Bud has been making, or do we sort of have to give credit to Coach Bud for making the adjustment, or if there has been adjustments that he's been making that has been working for them after they went down 0-2 in the series?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if necessarily an adjustment. I think they did a good job of kind of sticking with their philosophy after game one and two, and they continue to, you know, try to lock off. They've done a good job of basically locking off on these shooters, limiting 3-point attempts, limiting what the Suns can get at the rim, and just making every bucket tough on them. So I like that aspect of their defense. Offensively, I mean, like I said, I think they're going to be at their best when Giannis has his foot on the gas. He's diving into the rim, sucking everybody in. And you said, you kick back out. Yeah. You know, and I do respect Bud. I mean, Middleton and Drew Holiday played, 46 minutes in this game? I don't have the box score up, but, you know, Giannis definitely gets really tired. That's definitely something to watch. I mean, he was huffing and puffing at times in all of these games in this series, but I think Bud's been good. I mean, it's very outcome driven, right? Because and Jeff Teague is someone who still is continuing to play, that people don't want to play him, but Bryn Forbes isn't playing anymore. So it's tough to really say. And obviously it comes down to the great plays, like the one that Drew Holiday made to Giannis. you know, we could be talking about how the Bucks have no offensive philosophy and they just rely on Chris Middleton to bail them out. If some of those don't go in, we a lot more scrutiny on Bud in that game. So, you know, not that there's anything wrong, and they're up 3-2. So they've done their job so far. Thoughts on the total 222? Seen a lot of overaction in that last game, and that was dead on. So what are you thinking for this game six total?
I mean, can you get away from this over right now, the way these teams are offensively playing? I mean, we just had maybe, depending on what number you got in game three, I know there were some 219, 219 and a halves floating around, but game four was the one game that went under, but that was because in that first quarter, they only scored 43 points. But after that, 61 in the second, 54 and 54 and the rest of the way. I think you kind of got to stay with the over again, man. I don't want to get away from it. I think there's a trend that you got to continue to keep following on the over. I guess another point I wanted to make to you, what you just mentioned with Giannis, you know, huffing and puffing and being tired, how crazy is it to know that there's two games, you have 2 days off between games instead of one game?
Yeah.
Or 1 day off between games, right? I think that's been more advantageous for the Milwaukee Bucks because of how Giannis, I guess we can say his stamina might not be there, and that he needs those breaks coming out of the game with, you know, 7 minutes left in the first quarter. So I think that's been a huge advantage for the Milwaukee Bucks. But sorry, going back to the total. Yeah, I think I just got to stay with the over here. You know, nothing's going to change my mind to take this under. I know the intensity is going to be up because it is elimination game for the for the Phoenix Suns and championship game for the Milwaukee Bucks. But I mean, they play at a very high pace. You have shot makers, you have guys that can finish around the basket, guys that can get to the rim easily for easy points. So I think that's what's really translating to the over all throughout the series. So I'll stay with that over.
Yeah, and just to comment on what you said, I mean, I think the 2 days off for every game has been huge for the Bucks because for someone like Chris Paul and how much his body's worn down, it's not like he can go more even with the 2 days rest. Like, he's still only playing, what you said, like 35 minutes in this game. But everyone else can get back up to that 42 minute spurt. But it is interesting that if there is a game seven, I think there's only one night in between. I think that'll be Thursday night if there's a game seven. So,
yeah, you're right.
That's very interesting. If we get there on the total, I mean, yeah, I think people will talk about shooting regression. I don't know. I think there's a good case for both sides. I will go with the under only because I do think this game is going to have a closeout game feel to it. Okay. I feel like this is going to have sort of a game seven feel to it. And we know the trend for game seven is going under the total and low scoring. So yeah. I'm going to go with the under, but definitely just Bucks minus 4.5. I mean, bet them every game in this series, had them variety of ways for the title. So
yep,
I am nervous, but I don't want to quit the bandwagon now. So going to go with Bucks and the under. Any props, quarter bets that you're looking at already for this game?
No, I mean, the ones that I did like, I mean, I will be dropping the usual player props article on game day, the ones that I've been liking, the books aren't having put up, which has been the Cam Johnson three point shots made over 1.5. Same thing for Connaughton. I don't see that one either. And I think if you do see the rebounding prop for Pat Connaughton again, I think I would continue to take that over because he's been absolutely phenomenal rebounding the basketball for the Milwaukee Bucks. Last game was at 4.5. I think he finished with 6. So if you're seeing anything around maybe 4.5, 5.5, I would still take the over on that. But waiting for some more, I think props to drop, and I will definitely have an article up on the website at sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
There we go. Anything else on the show that you want to talk about today?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Team USA plays tonight, right? I think
they play in Spain 15 minutes.
Exhibition game.
Better go grab Chipotle and watch that game.
Yeah, there you go. Just quickly, what did you think about them adding JaVale McGee and Kelvin Johnson was the other one to get the spot?
I mean, I think people were joking around about JaVale McGee. I mean, I feel like he's still compared to the average level of player in the Olympics. I mean, JaVale McGee is much better than compared to the average level of player in the NBA. So I think he'll be fine. Obviously, it is kind of funny. Kelvin Johnson, I like. We were going back and forth about this on the Slack channel. I mean, I think the roster construction needs work. Like, there's diminishing returns for three stars, let alone five stars on the floor together. And we've seen that with every single big three that's been assembled, is someone has to become Chris Bosh. Now imagine that with a fourth guy. I mean, someone has to become even less than that. You know, so I think this, the construction of this team, I mean, I almost like it better now, although you're adding back into the mix Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, which I cannot believe those guys committed to do this. I mean, this is an exhausting series. Now they're going to the Olympics. I mean, I bet they – no, I mean, those guys are competitors. If I were them, I would consider having to bail on that after how grueling this season has been. But they kind of can't at this point, given the numbers. They get Jeremy Grant back, apparently, so he should be good to go. But, yeah, I mean, if you have Dame, KD, Zach LaVine, plenty of shot creation, Jason Tatum, plenty of shot creation, I would be surrounding this team like every NBA team wants to do with 3 and D. That's what every team is looking for, to put around their stars, you know, not more stars. So, but I'm excited to watch this game tonight. And if you like the Sunday night bailout, I think USA is -9 in this game.
There we go. And they're taking on Spain, right? So, it's going to be a fun game. Anything else to get to? I know we have draft coming up, but I know we'll get to that in this coming week and then early next week. But kind of quiet on the news front, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's weird. There's been so many like unverified accounts and like accounts with like less than 10,000 followers who like aren't traditional sources, like tweeting out vague rumors that like aren't really accountable to anything, you know, teams that guys are considering, there were like 20 different accounts that were tweeting out Dame stuff that was all different on the day when he was supposed to have requested a trade, and then he flat out denied that rumor. That was kind of embarrassing for the person who posted that article. But yeah, I mean, you got to definitely, I think it's just better to wait until you see like a legit beat reporter of a team, or you know, your big time national accounts tweet something out, because there's so many rumors flying around. But that stuff will definitely pick up, and yeah, the free agency starts in the middle of Olympics, so we'll have a lot to talk about with that. But yeah, a lot of fun today. I mean, I that was just a sick game. That game four and game five have both been really, really high level. Some Mike Breen great calls. I mean, just really fun to watch. Feels like the NBA finals, and great, just great to have it in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going to be a quick turnaround too for the NBA season. The finals are going to be ending this week, and then like you said, we have NBA draft, and then Olympics, and then the free agency, and then before we know it, we might have the start of training camp and then preseason already. So, not the usual break that you're used to in the NBA, but certainly it's a very going to be a quick turnaround, and then. With football season approaching, it's going to be a very, very busy times in the month of August and September. So definitely looking forward to it. It's been a lot of fun this season with Ryan McKee, with you and Dan and Scott, and it's just looking forward to what's coming in the next couple of weeks and the months ahead. So if you're not along with the ride, you need to join us definitely. So make sure you're subscribed to the NBA Gambling Podcast, as well as all the other podcasts. Everybody's just, you know, they're grinding all throughout these summer months.
Yes, sir. Definitely. If you like this episode, subscribe to NBA Gambling Podcast, all the shows on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, including the MLB Gambling Podcast, which Moonop is also a co-host of. So definitely check that out.
Yes, sir.
You're going to find a props article from Moonop on Tuesday for the NBA game. That's going to be on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Ton of other articles on there. Also, join us in the Slack channel. It's at sg.pn/Slack. I've had a ton of just live chatter going on during these games. A lot of fun. The Slack is a place to be. I saw you and Capper were getting after it a little bit in the golf Slack channel today.
It's all love.
I just chimed in. I actually was watching the Barbasol Championship come down to a playoff, and the Open was fun this weekend. So yeah, so follow me on Twitter at NBA Zach B. Follow Moonop on Twitter at SportsNerd824. Game six Tuesday night. Let's do it. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and let it ride. Basketball, get it, the ball, because I'm going.